All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to another QLS. All right, so last week, you remember, Jennifer Lewis came on Questlove Supreme, and the accomplished actress talked about traveling the world, mental health, and sex addiction. She even sang me a song on the piano. All right, here's part two. Jennifer gives powerful life advice. Touches on her new book, which is called Walking in My Joy in These Streets, which is out now. You know, as I said before, this is probably one of the best interviews we've ever done on this podcast. So guys, listen, this is probably the only interview in which I didn't ask one question that I was planning on. She took over. Hope you enjoy it. All right. Okay, I'm gonna take this a little bit to the creative, because this is what I admire about you the most. How can you get, and this is, I know this answer is going to be an hour, but how can you truly, one of the things that I hope to finally rid myself of, and if I could rid myself of this, it's curtains. And that is, how do you rid yourself of the chip that overthinks people pleasing or what other people are going to think or giving a fuck about what other people think? Because old habits die hard. And I know, like, the one struggle I have in the last, like, the one thing I've not completed in my transformation is my need to pause and think about what other people think before what I think.
Need for approval.
I got you, pumpkin.
The reason why my mouth is agape at every answer that you're giving is because I truly envy the fact that I don't have this level of freedom.
Ask yourself this. This won't be an hour answer. This is a brief one, because this is an easy one for me. I've never given a fuck what people think about me. I'm like, bitch, step your ass aside. I'm coming through. Now listen, ask yourself this. Oh, if you were laying in a hospital on your deathbed, would that person who you are giving a fuck about, who probably don't even give a fuck about you, would they come into that hospital and say to you, let me die for you, Quest?
Whoa.
Now listen to the end of it. And if they're not willing to die for you, why are you living for them?
God damn.
I thought it was going to go off the rails.
No, that shit hit me so hard in the gut, man.
Would that person that you're sitting there obsessing over come in there and say, oh, let me die for you? No, they won't, because they can't. Get into Reality Quest. I'll come for your ass. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Not that one. That's an easy one.
Ooh, damn. Shit was hard.
If they are not willing to die for you, why are you living for them?
If they are not willing to die, it's an affirmation. They are not willing
to die for you. End of story. Next question. Next question, please.
Yeah, y'all got to handle it. I got to ponder it. I literally had to ponder. You remember that? You remember the Matthew Knowles moment where I had to take time out?
Right.
I'm having one of those moments right now.
If they are not willing to die for you, Amir, why are you living for them? I got this. Okay, here's my question.
What's your question, Jennifer Lewis?
What is joy to you?
Oh,
please break. Please, it's one of my favorite words.
It is a brief answer. Also, The day I touched bliss. Nobody uses that word. Who the fuck goes around talking about bliss?
It's a luxury.
The fucking word probably comes up once all over the universe. Once.
Yes.
Bliss.
Yes.
Listen to me. The day I touched bliss was the day I took responsibility for every choice I had made, was going to make, and the choice I was making at that moment to learn. Oh, that I am responsible. You can point the finger and blame all the fuck you want. And even if you're laying next to somebody at night, your headache is your own. So stand up, stand in your joy. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. Or sit your ass in Central Park or wherever the fuck you live. You go find a tree. You sit down and hush. Be still. Be still and know this is your life. You are the center of it. You are the master of your universe. All of those planets and stars that you see, the Milky Way, the nebulas, they're in you. How dare you not stand up and appreciate mighty ficus trees, jacarandas and crepe myrtles and agapanthas and grass itself. Oh, come on, Jesus, grass. What about grass? Ah, shanana. We don't even look at it. We just take it for granted. And yet, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand. And that includes every beach on this planet. Take that shit in. I don't even know if it's true, but somebody told me that shit like that. And I have a line.
You're absolutely right.
I have a line in my new book.
Okay.
And it says, let me enjoy this moment. Let me laugh as loud as I want. Because I believe it just might be true. But it's not going to hurt me to imagine this. My laughter, the energy from my laughter may reach a nebula and hold my consciousness to it to create its life. Don't fuck with me, y'all. Don't fuck with me. I'm thinking about nebulas for the next generation. We don't know if human beings would just unite, we could have pushed back Katrina. You take that in. There's your metaphor for how powerful you are. I believe in mankind. These are not dark times with the bullshit that's going on. These are awakening times. So wake the fuck up before this bitch becomes a Nazi state.
You gonna just ride out no matter what happens here? You know, one of these people considering like, I'm gonna go somewhere.
Let me tell you something.
Okay. It's ours. We built it. You know.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If that motherfucker is elected, mm-hmm. I will personally fly to D.C.
And watch your words.
No, okay. Listen to me. I ain't watching shit. Listen to me. I don't watch shit.
All right.
Listen to me. Okay. I will personally fly to Washington, D.C., and I will climb that fence and take that bullet.
Fucking right.
Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I will take that bullet for the next generation. If me going down will make you motherfuckers rise, I'll take that bullet. You understand? Because, darling, I've lived. My little nephew came running over to me because we were sitting around talking about death at the beginning of COVID, because everybody contemplated their death during that time because we didn't know about it at the beginning. My little nephew washed over. He said, "See, Jenny, you're not afraid to die?" I said, "No, baby, I'm not." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I've lived. Don't fuck with me." Yeah, am I scared? Listen to me. Am I scared?
No, you are not.
Listen to me. Yeah, but no, I'm scared, but I'm unafraid. See, to be scared is okay. We're human. These motherfuckers are shooting our children in the back. Yeah, I'm scared. These motherfuckers have gone crazy. Yeah, I'm scared. But am I afraid? Shoot me, bitch. You live with it.
That's freedom. That's freedom right there.
And the truth is, you want to know the real freedom? Mm. Not even me can stop me. That's how powerful the gift is. Shoot me, bitch. I'm going to live forever.
Oh, you will.
I'm going to live forever in that. Let me tell you, in that. You remember the Matrix, they dodged the bullets, yes?
Yes.
Well, I can kick my leg up still, but I can't bend back like I used to. But guess what?
What?
There is nothing on this planet. That's why Trump can't do nothing with Obama. Love is the greatest weapon. Don't ever forget that. That's why I feel sorry for him in many ways, because Obama led with love. You can't destroy that. I don't give a fuck what you do. Go on, take Frederick Douglass and Dr. King out of your goddamn books. Those people will live forever. You can't erase love, you dumb son of a bitches. You cannot. Love, you can't, baby. I wish a bitch would. Let me tell you what happened to me. I couldn't believe it. But I'm pulling up. White woman, Karen, God bless her. I never thought I would experience it. She told me, she asked me to back up. She pushed her hand. I went, okay, so I backed up. She did it again, back up, bitch. And she didn't say that, but I felt that, but I backed up anyway. And then she got out of a car and I went, I said, is this happening? And I sat there. I said to myself, don't do it, Jenny. Jenny, don't do it. Don't do it, Jenny. Didn't work. I got out of that fucking car.
Can't stop me.
But watch out, y'all. I went over to her. I said, what's wrong, baby? She said, I need you to back up. I live south of the boulevard. I can't. I said, okay. I did not. Hold on. I said, hold on, baby. I said, guess what? Hold on a minute. Hold on. Fuck that bitch up. I said, hold on, babe. I said, guess what? She said, what? I said, we're too beautiful to do this. I said, look at you. You're gorgeous. And so am I. I had on my robe and a mask. But I said, look at how beautiful you are. I said, girl, we don't need to do this. We're fabulous. For 2 seconds, a smile came on her face like, really? I am beautiful. But she couldn't hold it because she hadn't practiced walking in her joy. So you got to have it in you to balance it when the bullshit presents itself.
Ooh, I know that. I got some of that.
Bad bitch, skidded rubber. But see, because, you got to love me. But because for those 2 seconds, she became human, I learned. Jenny, this is how you must face it. You must face it with love, darling. Don't fight them. You're 65. Your titties almost down to your navel. Go on, leave them. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm so cute, y'all. That was a joke.
I was like, the titties is not good. Yeah, the titties is great.
You know I look good. You know I look good, honey. You know I know I'm cute. My mama, I look just like my mama. My mama was so pretty. But, you know, I got to tell you, I never paid attention to my looks. You know, you'll see me on the red carpet. I'm very casual. Yeah. And I say this with great humility. I got so much fucking talent. I don't give a fuck how I look. I'm coming in the room, bitch. I know who I am.
Although, can I just say your look matters? Not to throw back to the book, though, but I appreciate this the part where you talk about why the Afro was so important and every hairstyle that you kind of showcased on Black-ish because, listen.
But didn't I say that shit?
Yeah, yes, you said that shit. Yes.
Black hair is the only thing on this planet that defies gravity.
Good God, yes.
Son.
Look at my fucking hair. Look at my hair.
Yes.
Fuck out of here with that. And these are antennas to God.
Mm.
These are antennas. Look at your hair. It's an antenna, for God's sake. It's curly like an antenna. You need your natural hair so that you can hear and live and feel the wisdom of the ages.
Yeah.
You think Mandela ain't talking to me? You think Gandhi and who else did I read?
All the ancestors.
All of them.
This is not the first time I heard that.
Yeah. I told y'all, I tug on Sojourner's skirt when I have to get up sometime and don't want to.
I like that.
You hear me? You got to tug on their skirts. Don't pull them too hard. They did enough for us.
Yeah.
Just a little tug.
Just a little something. I don't need much. Just
a little bit.
Yeah.
Miss Truth. I need you this morning. If you will, just help me get out of this bed. And she ain't never told me no. Holla, Shanana.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonte, Fontigolo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the 1980s, Frank Farian was riding high as a successful German music producer, but he was bored.
German pop was formulaic, dull, and oh so white. Frank had bigger dreams, American dreams. He wanted to create the kind of music that would rival larger-than-life artists like Michael Jackson or Run DMC.
So he assembled a hip-hop duo, two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? One very important element was missing, but Frank knew just how to fix that.
Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's biggest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segui, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists.
Follow Blame It on the Fame wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
Most show hosts that are interviewers often dream of that segment in their interview in which they ask the question that will really penetrate and break their guest into tears. You know, like the Barbara Walters
cutting moment. Of course.
I think this is the first show in history in which the interviewer, like, I've received absolutely everything you said, but I'm still so fucked up about why are you living for other people. I'm still fucked up from what you told me 20 minutes ago that I'm sitting here literally like,
if they won't die for you, why are you living for them?
Right. But I'm sitting here like, no, nah, you're not going to cry right now, man. You're not going to cry on your own goddamn show. Like,
you can do whatever you want to. You is an evolved Black man, remember?
I know. But I'm just like, this is an anomaly where the host is literally just flat. Maybe it's the day. Maybe it's Lion. You know, it's also Lionsgate. It's August 11th. Okay, yes. I'm very much into Pleiadian culture and...
What's 11?
Okay, I'm sorry. Forget. Tonight, as of this recording, it's a full moon.
Okay.
In this age that we're in, what they call Lionsgate, this is where the way that the stars align in August. Mm-hmm. This is where this kind of from the 8th of August probably until the 13th. This week is where most people will try to manifest or bring their abundance in, or they work on getting rid of old habits. I'm again working on the latter of getting rid of old habits, you know. And so
I'm one that simplifies that. I just, you know what I do?
What are you doing?
I give the moon a little sugar every night. I send a kiss up there. I say, how you doing, babe? You all right? I want to thank you for balancing us out. You doing all right? And when I go to the toilet, let me tell you what I do. When I'm sitting on the toilet, sometimes I will project myself to the moon. And I look down on myself. I look down on the United States. I say, where's the United States? Oh, there it is. Where's California? Oh, there it is. Where's Los Angeles? Oh, there it is. Where's Japan? There it is. And then I start to laugh. And I say, there I am. Oh, there you are, Jenny. Look at you. Look at you laughing. You okay? So you got to make friends with fucking Saturn. That bitch up there spinning, that's the prettiest bitch out there. Say hello sometimes. Say hello to a tree. Thank her for a fucking shade. That's her life too. These bitches stand in the seasons vulnerable with no leaves, ice and snow coming down on it. And then that bitch buds. The reason she takes in the winter is because she knows that spring is coming. So she stands there. And winter's alone. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's mm-hmm. the seasons. I know about the seasons because depression is seasonal.
Right.
I know about joy because I'm aware to incorporate color into my life. I wish I could show y'all my home.
I see the green. I see the beautiful green.
A number of colors on my wall. Happy. Ain't nothing sad on my wall. Somebody tried to sell me an African mask with the bitch hat. I said, bitch, I want that shit in my house. I need people smiling. I don't want that sad bitch over there. Get that sad bitch off my wall. Shit. Put a bitch up there with some tea. Fuck out of here with that. You don't get to sit up and watch sad ass movies.
You're Aquarius. This is what, okay. This is all making sense.
He's in the seventh house.
5 days after us. Okay. It's all, it's really 25th, right?
25th. Okay.
Uh-huh.
January 20th. Both she and I are January 20th.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's the deal. My ex, and I guess this is the first time I'm acknowledging, yes, the look on Fonte's face right now, and Laia's face.
No.
Even though Grace and I are very amicable, yeah, we
okay.
We all right, cool.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
All right, we can date. You want to date?
Let's go.
Right now.
No, don't kill him. I don't think he's ready. That's like,
she did say she could still get the lid.
Are y'all recording from New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in LA.
I'm currently recording in New York right now.
Okay. Quest, I'm gonna call you when I get there. We're gonna go out on a date.
Okay.
He'll be
in LA soon too. So
y'all leave him alone. I'm gonna get him in New York. Y'all leave us alone.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm getting my point out. Let me get my point out.
Okay.
I'm so here.
So the one thing, Fonte's face right now. The one thing that she would always do that, you know, and I've been very extremely clairvoyant on, you know, just on what our relationship was. But I was like, okay, why do you feel it's necessary to talk to all the trees on the property and the plants and everything?
No,
because
just one. Yeah. Don't go crazy and fuck around.
No. But I mean, she can talk to every tree. But you know, I was like, okay, well, okay, we'll acknowledge.
Leave alone. Let her talk to as many fucking trees as she wants.
But to hear you say that, I was like, all right. Now,
no, you can't talk to every motherfucking tree. You can't be crazy, and I'm not putting her down.
No. She doesn't talk to every tree, but
oh, okay, that's the metaphor.
Her level of joy and life appreciation. Her whole thing was like in gratitude. Like she will say, "Oh, I love that color of red. I love that. I love that, and I love that, and I love." Like she was always in a constant state of gratitude and joy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a point where, like, you know, I'd look at we have a large tree in our apartment. I was just like, well, I don't know if I'm going to talk to the tree the way she speaks of it. But I just.
Let's see if the tree lives.
Now that you've doubled down on it, now I have a different relationship with the tree inside my house. So.
Well, here's the thing. Whatever you're looking at is what and who you are. Who's ever in front of you, that's who you are. There's a reflection of yourself, whether it's a tree or a fucking ant. Okay? If it's a, fuck what it is. I just got back from safari. eight fucking lioness coming toward me with them fucking claws and paws. I went, God damn! But it was me. It was me coming. See, we see, well, you know, the beautiful thing about life is you have to be ready to adhere to the music of the symphony that is being played. This, like I said, this ain't no fucking rehearsal, y'all. This is Miles. This is Mozart. It is the music that is the answer. The music is the pumping of the heart. That's why we, when we hear, dum, 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 we got to move, because that's what's pumping in us. Don't get it twisted. Allow people to be who they are. You have to answer the call and say, is that a reflection of me? And if it's not, maybe you got more summers left than me. I don't let no drama in my life no more. There's enough of it outside of my home. Somebody walk in my home and don't say, this is beautiful, you earned it. I say, I got to go. Because I don't want to be with that person. You be nice. Be present and be nice. And if there's drama, you sure got to go. I just fired my entire team.
I was going to say, now that this is going to be completely a life advice episode, how, and that's one thing that I had to do. I fired more people in the last year.
Incompetence and laziness.
I hate.
I do, like, too.
And again, old Amir is shedding off, and I hate confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
I hate not manning up, but yeah, I've run this organization, and again, I was in the thin line of, hey, I'm everyone's friend. I want people to like me, but I also have to be their boss. How do you spring clean your life?
You have to pay attention and journal in the morning and at night. What did that kid do today? Is the assistant doing their job? I shouldn't have to go over there and tell you to write that email. Bitch, do your fucking job. All this money I'm paying your ass. The millennials, I love the millennials. They're my heart and soul. But they came up with technology. They don't know anything about social skills and manners. They don't know nothing about manners. You cannot have them. You need young people to work for you because you don't have the energy you used to have. You have to be very selective. I have a new assistant. You met her, Cecily. She's lovely. She's smart. My last assistant wanted to lounge. It was like a therapy session. I'm like, nigga, I ain't got time to shrink you. What the fuck is wrong with you? I ain't gonna sit up here and shrink you motherfuckers all day. The chef, my little chef hat.
I was about to say, you need to put that on a t-shirt because I know everybody wants some shrinking. Yeah.
Wait a minute. My chef would come in here. That bitch would start drama. I'm like, bitch, cook and leave. The fuck out of here.
No.
The chef. And then here comes the fucking assistant. Wait a minute. Here comes the fucking assistant. And, oh, he got in a fight with his lover. Bitch. So is that who I should write the check to?
Right. That part.
Here comes the housekeeper. I said, baby, can you get that brass sink? It's only one in the little powder room. I go in there, that bitch ain't did shit, but put a little comment on that motherfucker. I'm like, girl, get your ass out of here. If I'd done that shit when I was a little girl, my mother would have threw my ass out the house. Get your ass out of here. I come from another generation. We don't play. You clean this shit up, because what you don't know that I know, if it's your house is dirty, then so are you.
Facts.
Now back that ass up. You listen to me. This is something my therapist used to tell me. Oh, that bitch. But anyway.
No,
I hate that bitch. I've been with her 80 years. No, you know I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Oh, you still with her? Okay, cool. Then you,
girl, shut the fuck up. I love her. You kidding? That bitch held the torch.
Yeah.
That's the one that wasn't scared. That's why I stayed with her.
Yeah, I was going, when you finished, I wanted you to ask about how you found your good therapist, because you had a point you was making. But
no, who's holding that point? Because it was a good one. All right, somebody remembered. If you don't, then we weren't supposed to say it. Let me tell you about my therapist.
Yeah.
My therapist, I raged in a session once and I was screaming so loud. Oh my God. Remembering it gives me chills. And when I got to the door to leave, I looked at her and I had the tears going out like, I'm really, really, really sorry. I didn't mean to rage so much. She looked at me, she said, Jennifer, I see you 2 times a week. That's 2 hours. The rest of the time you gotta live with yourself. I went, God damn. Live with myself. What a fucking what? I paid attention. That jumped out.
Mm-hmm.
I live with myself. Isn't that something? Now, let's see now. What is that self? Well, I'll be damned. I don't think I know. See, this was early therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, y'all, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I lived. I lived on purpose. I experienced. I listened. That was a big one for me. I didn't listen to nobody. I'm like, bitch, I know what I'm doing. And then I'd be at the bottom of Grand Canyon. I almost fell off that motherfucker, the Grand Canyon. I sure did. honey, I went out on that bluff, and a wind came up. I thought I could go out there because I saw another man out there. What, unbeknownst to me, he had his arm around a rock and he was taking pictures. Then I didn't have no rock. Baby, when that breeze came up, I slid a flat. You know, you got to go flat because the wind can't blow you if you're down. Baby, my friends were over there talking. They didn't even know the shit had happened. I crawled back to safety. Crawled.
Wow.
I was nearly drowned in the Pacific Ocean when that third wave came and smacked the shit out of me and I'd have no air in my lungs. I heard a voice and I was drowning and I was in shock. I was actually pulled to shore and given whatever it's called, CPR, mm-hmm. and pumped water out of me. About 10 gallons of water came out of me.
What? Damn.
But a voice came to me as I was being tossed around in that big wave. There was a hurricane off the Baja, Mexico, and the waves were tall as the Alps that day. And like a damn fool, I went out there on a boogie board. Dumbass. So I heard a big voice come inside of me because I knew it was over. I knew I was dead. I had no air. And it said, thank you, God. I had a great time. And I did. And I was ready to go. That was a huge moment for me. I didn't mind dying because I was having such a good time. And if you gotta go, bitch, go with a smile on your face. I was fussing about something on my bike the other day. You know, I cycle. I said, get it out, Jenny. You're on your bike. Just get it out. And I start huffing and puffing about some shit. And then I stopped, you see. Ah, Shana, now watch this one. I said to myself, here's what happened. Let me give it to you. A big truck went by and it did boom, 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 boom. It reminded me of the Northridge earthquake. See, so when that happened, I realized that it could have been an earthquake and I could have died on that bike. There's your 5 minutes. And I said to myself, you gonna go down like this? Is that how you're going to go down, Jenny? Huffing and puffing about some bullshit? After all the work you've done, what if it was 5 minutes? Silly girl. Now let's get a smile on your face and pump this heel. But you can't do that if you haven't practiced balance. You got to understand, some shit's coming, y'all. The phone's going to ring. Somebody's going to be dead. It's coming. It's called life. As a line from The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. When Sean Connery has been stabbed damn near to death, shot. He looks at Kevin Costner and says, because he can catch his killer. He knows, Sean Connery knows Kevin Costner can go and take care of this man who has shot him. Mm-hmm. And he looks at Kevin Costner with blood coming out of his mouth. And he says, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared for? So if you haven't prepared and you still using the same fucking ingredients, that made you depressed. Instead of some sugar, why don't you put just a little cayenne on it? Instead of salt, why don't you put just a little kelp on it? Change the recipe. Mm-hmm. Change the recipe, baby. But you can't do it if you don't do the groundwork, because it won't fill you up. You'll be filled with the same thoughts day after day after day after day. And the last thing I want to say is help somebody. You go help somebody, even if it's helping an old woman across the street. You know why? It's going to make you feel good. It'll make you feel good just to do a little good deed every day, because it don't cost nothing. Of course, mm-hmm. that old woman may stab the shit out of you, stab the shit out. She may shoot you. I wish, you know what? Look, I wish I could tell you about the book. The book is so good.
Don't forget about Dickmatized.
I can't talk about this. Dickmatized is about the con artist, the romance scandal. I tell it all.
And you do. And you told, I didn't even know you was the one that told TMZ. I was like, fucking brilliant, fuck this nigga.
I called the next day to get his picture on the air. Because I knew if I was in as much pain as I was, with all the work I've done, I knew what other women would be suffering. And I knew that son of a bitch was still loose. He's in jail now, you know. I got him 8 years. 8 motherfucking years.
Thank you for your service.
Wait, listen, y'all. I kept a private eye on that motherfucker for 5 years.
That shit is expensive.
Wow.
Goddamn straight. What else am I going to do with my money but try to help somebody with it?
Can I ask
you, though? Now, listen to me. Mm-hmm. What?
Do you still... At this stage in your life, do you still believe in love? I believe love is seasonal, as far as partners go and that sort of thing.
Look at her.
Look at me.
Yeah. I'm looking at you.
I believe in love. I believe in love of, you know, I got to tell you something. Let me be honest. I live alone. My nephew lives with me down in the lower level, where the drag queen was. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful little cute dog that has me by the nose. I have loved 4 men in my life. I was engaged to all 4 of them, but I didn't get married because I didn't want anybody to think that they were in control of me. Yeah. I'm too much of an alpha. I just am. You don't try. What the fuck? Nigga, what? Me? Get the fuck out of here with that. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't want to do it. Until God says that's enough, little girl, sit your ass down. And I can go sit down too, because my karma is instant. God, baby, they'll suck the air out of my lungs if I turn this around to the dark side. I have this joke where God is up in heaven and she looks down, she sees me, and then she calls one of her cronies over and she says, "You see that one?" And the crony says, "Wait, the one right there?" She says, "No, the one with the mouth." And then God says to her sister girl, she says, "We better get her on our side or we're gonna lose this thing." Y'all hear me talking?
I hear you.
My life is dedicated to the next generation, that they have rights to the American dream that I did. I have lived the American dream. I have lived the spectrum. I told one journalist, "I've had my day in the sun. Now I am the sun." Call me arrogant, call me anything you want.
No, that's true. That's true.
But I ain't doing nothing but trying to lead with love. I really, truly am. Like I told y'all, my shit stinks. I'm far from perfect. But damn, it feels good to feel this good. It really does. I get a little scared of my joy sometimes because not a lot of people have it. So you feel like, damn, Jenny, look at these depressed motherfuckers. But
gotta guard it.
That's why I try to help them too, because I know what they're struggling against.
They see it.
Before we close, and I actually like the fact that we did an entire episode of Questlove Supreme where we absolutely positively talked about nothing professional.
Good.
And, you know, and for our listeners, I will hope that you appreciated this as much as we did, but I felt the way the episode was going, these are gems and pearls of wisdom that I wouldn't get by just asking what's your favorite movie or, you know, your creative process. But I do want to at least close with one professional question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I come from a generation in which I guess probably one of the most monumental shows on television, the infamous C word on NBC.
Okay.
I never thought that show could be topped by A Country Mile. And I was gladly proven wrong because, you know, the way that you guys in these 8 years on Black-ish have conquered almost every, I mean, you've conquered almost every taboo subject that I don't think any other, including Good Time, like, you know, it's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's over,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you can't stop, are there any professional endeavors or an itch that you want to scratch that you have yet to do?
Not really.
I mean, yeah, it took me 10 minutes to read your entire resume. So
I'm going to tell you why. Kenya Barris offered me my own show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beyond with you. I don't want to work that hard. I want to travel and enjoy myself.
Thank you for that honesty too.
Oh no, honey. If they'd offered to me when I was 40, I would have been, But no. I'm 65 and no. I know the work it takes to be the star of a show. Although I know Lawrence, I loved working with him, and he and I would have been brilliant on a show called Oldish. But,
and I'm glad you guys got married at the end. I love that.
Love him. But listen, with his schedule and mine and COVID was the thing that really stopped it. But I was not willing to work that hard anymore. Even the new series I'm on, I love that for you. I am the third lead, and I like that. Just let a nigga come in and say one line, take the shit over, and go home.
Yes, that sounds like freedom.
Leave me the fuck alone. I don't need two lines, bitch, to steal the whole goddamn show. Just let a bitch come in and go home and send a car, bitch. Anyway, listen.
I'm just saying, these are definitions of freedom, people. Are y'all listening?
It is freedom. Let me tell you something. And I love my freedom. I love eating when I want to eat as much as I want to eat or as little I want to eat. And without somebody saying, you going to eat all that, motherfucker. I'm standing on a ship with the moon coming up on my left. I'm standing at the bow of the ship. The moon is rising on my left and the sun is setting on my right. And I'm standing there in the arms of God on my way to Komodo Island to hang out with the motherfuckers over there, the prehistoric motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
I love myself.
I love you.
You think I'm gonna have somebody come out of the presidential suite and say to me through the French doors that he had difficulty opening, you ready to go eat? Oh my God. Not happening. Fuck out of that shit. I'm sorry, girl. I've worked myself out of the game, and that's all right with me. I'm 65. I don't need all that, honey. With that sex addiction, I've had enough sex to get me through 18 lifetimes.
Oh, you through?
I ain't through. Oh no.
All right, come on.
You already know she ain't hardly through. Yo.
I wanted to hear her say it.
Wait a minute. I will tell you this.
Yes.
That motherfucker better come in here and look and sound like Obama if he coming. I don't want nothing less. Fuck you. Get out.
Okay. Manifest it.
Yeah.
Your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. Well, a whole bunch of Obamas for all of us.
I gotta tell y'all something. I love life. Love people. I love making them laugh. I've been making them laugh since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. We gonna be all right. Mm-hmm. If we stand as the people. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. We have to love each other and be kind to each other. We are so fragile. We are fragile creatures. But we are so powerful. Mm-hmm. Be kind to your bodies. Look at what you're putting inside of it. See it as a temple. It is yours. It's all you got. Take care of it so you can enjoy. And maybe one day you'll be in the Himalayas. And one day maybe you'll be at Petra. Go on and live well. Leave people alone. Stop trying to change people. All that dumb shit. When you find yourself, like this morning, I had an interview and then we couldn't get on the Zoom. And it was MSNBC. That's important. I don't like to be late. And I was just getting ready to just go off. Like, what the, you know. But guess what?
What?
I said, be still. We're all right. They'll wait. Yeah. The party can't start for you until you get there. And if you're in a hurry, you will be rude. So don't be in a hurry. Give a little extra time so you don't run people off the road and shit. Pay attention. Write down shit like I'm going to drive safe today. I'm going to be careful that I don't hit a car that's got children in it because I'm mad at somebody or because I'm drunk. You watch your step in this world, this beautiful planet. And you had a black president. Act like it.
Two terms.
Mike, motherfucking drop. Jennifer Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Kent Lock.
This was my personal top three episodes of Questlove Supreme. I've spoken the least of all these episodes. I asked no questions on my interview list. Like I needed this episode. I thank you. This was beyond my expectations.
Yeah, it's an honor.
So just know that we're going to have you back on the show eventually.
To talk about her career.
Because I would like to actually hear of your canon and your journey. Because this is also a resume like yours is unprecedented. And, celebrate that. No, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And on behalf of Fontigolo and Lightyear and Sugar Steve and Unpaid Bill, you guys missed a monster this episode. We will see you on the next go round of Questlove Supreme. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to grab me a tissue because I need it. All right.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.